All right, and we're going to go ahead and be hearing a special message tonight. First of all, we want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry, who's been instrumental in downloading all of our messages into our system. And tonight we're going to be hearing a special message from Brother Hood. That's right, and that's actually going to be from Brother and Sister Hood. And the title of the message is Finding a Place. Thank you. Thank you so much. We just got a response. We're coming through good tonight. Thank you. Finding a Place Within the Space. What a unique title. Finding a Place Within the Space. This was a message that Brother Jason Hood preached back in 2014 at our church. And the special treat here, everybody, I'm glad you're on this call tonight, is we're going to be hearing from Sister Hood, who's going to be singing for a few minutes before the preaching of the message. And Jacob Roseberry was so diligent to make sure it was included, and I'm thankful to him for that. We're going to go ahead and begin to listen to that now. Once again, Finding a Place Within the Space. Be prayerful, be thinking about that as we begin to hear that, but let's go ahead and worship God as we hear Sister Carmen Hood begin to sing at the beginning of this message. Here we go, everybody.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to be in church again tonight. Amen, amen, amen. I want my wife to sing. I agree, that would be good. That's a good idea, too. Can you help me, Brother Ralph, if you don't mind? Worship with her tonight.
Right from wrong, but in
some praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Through it all. Through it all. Amen. God has never promised any of us. You heard the old saying, a rose garden. He did promise to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. And I'm thankful to know that through every problem, through every test, through every trial, through every situation, that God is there. And there's a lesson to be learned, and we're finding out more and more about Him. And we're learning to trust Him more and more. Amen. Well, remain standing. The book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation, chapter number 2. And I'm going to go ahead and let you know that this is going to sound repetitive. I know what I preached on Sunday morning, but I came prepared to preach something else tonight. But I made up my mind when God called me to preach. Lord, whatever you give me to preach, that's what I'll preach. And so it's going to sound repetitive, but I don't believe in second guessing God. And I do believe that God wants to talk to us all here again tonight. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 18. Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works in the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Now, this is not my message tonight, but this is a very powerful verse. The Lord lists all the things that they've got going for them, and then he says, "I've got a few things against you." And the thing that he mentions first is that they, in so many words, he used the word "suffers." That word simply means you allowed. You didn't say I'm for it. You didn't say I'm against it. But you saw it. You just let it just keep on going. You allowed it to happen. You were silent on the matter. And he said, because you were silent on that matter, I've got some things against you. You know what? There comes a time we got to speak up. There comes a time we can allow certain things to happen. Verse number 21, this is what I want to talk about. He said, "And I gave her space." Everybody say space. "I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found," notice this, "no place." Everybody say place. "He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Revelation chapter 2:21 says, "I gave her space to repent." Hebrews 12:17 says, "He found no place of repentance." And I want to preach today, or tonight, on this thought: finding a place within the space. Finding a place within the space. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word that we've read here tonight. I pray that you would add a blessing to it. I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts, open up our spirits, amen, open up our minds, God, tonight, that we can receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. Everybody shout in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. We sang a lot of old songs tonight, and I thoroughly enjoyed every single one of them. Even the song that my wife just sang is an old song, and this is just a perfect theme. We sang older songs, so I'm going to preach an oldies message. We're going to preach about repentance and oldies message, and you know, this is a forgotten doctrine in a lot of denominational churches, but it's still scriptural. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance." The reason why Jesus has yet to return for his church, the reason why the rapture has not taken place, is because God is long-suffering. It's because God is merciful. It's because God is not willing, he's not wanting that anybody be lost. The reason why he is tarrying his coming is because he wants there to be one more person that will come to repentance. Amen. This is the truth. And you know, people they allow the long suffering of God. They take it as weakness, and they take it, Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. They take it because God has not judged them, because God has not dealt with them, that they're getting by. And that there is no judgment, that there is no payday, not understanding that it's just God simply being long-suffering. And God is wanting us all to come to a place that we can turn from our sins. One reason this is a forgotten doctrine, I do believe that it's probably because of what I just said. So many people don't even understand the definition of the word repentance. I've taught countless Bible studies, and each time I ask the person the same question, just to kind of get a feel of where they are when you begin to get on the topic of salvation, I'll ask them, what does the word repent mean? And many of them have no idea. Some of them say, well, it means to be sorry for your sins. And I'll tell them, yeah, that's partly it, but it's much deeper than that. There's another phase, there's another facet of this word repent that is deeper than just a godly sorrow. It's deeper than just feeling bad. But repentance in its entirety means to change your direction. I know I'm preaching to the choir. It means to change your direction. It means to change your mind. It means to change your behavior, your activity, what you're doing. Amen. You go in an opposite direction. You don't just feel bad for what you're doing, but you stop doing what you're doing. Understand that you cannot repent in and of yourself. Repentance is a gift from God. Just like the Holy Ghost is a gift, repentance is a gift. You cannot repent unless God gives you the gift of repentance. Amen. And so people, they feel bad all the time and say, man, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't act this way. But they continue to do the same thing that they've always done. You know why? They feel bad, but they've yet to repent. They've yet to turn. They've yet to change. You got to realize that this is the very reason that Jesus Christ came to earth. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. I came to call sinners to repentance. The reason why I'm here, the reason why all of this is going on, the reason why there's people being healed, the reason why the dead is being raised, is ultimately my mission is to call sinners to a place that they're going to turn from their iniquity and their sin. Let's take a quick look at who preached repentance in the Word of God. The book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark chapter 1 verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark chapter 6, verse number 7. He called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Verse 8, 9, and 10 and 11 talks about different things. He gives them instructions. Verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. John Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, his whole ministry was one of repentance. And after he's put in prison, maybe they're thinking that they've shut the mouth of that crazy, wild preacher that's telling everybody to repent. But as soon as he's put in prison, Jesus hears about it and he begins to preach. And what does Jesus preach? Repent. He calls disciples. He gives them power to heal the sick. He gives them power to cast out devils. He gives them power to raise the dead. And with all of this power that Jesus gives his followers, the Bible says the first thing they did when they went out was to preach. Preaching is powerful, by the way. Preaching is powerful. Preaching is a miraculous event, just like a person being instantly healed. Preaching is a miracle. He gave them miraculous power, and the first thing they did was to go out and preach, and their message was one of repent, turn from your sin. Amen. Amen. We need to remember here today that we are a people that believe in the power of repentance. I told you that one reason this is a forgotten doctrine in so many places, so many denominational churches. And again, I'm not here to throw off on anybody, but I'm just telling the truth here. The main reason this is a forgotten doctrine is because there's a prevailing mentality in mainstream church and modern Christendom today that says, you know what, God is a God of love. And God understands that you're just a human, and he understands that you're going to make mistakes, and he doesn't expect you to just do this and do that. And God understands. You don't have to change anything. God, he knows your heart, that you really, really want to do right. And so if you never get there, it's okay. Well, it got quiet then. So many people have deceived themselves into believing that they're okay continuing in sin, that God understands nobody is perfect, and so on and so forth. But I got a question for you. What is the purpose in professing to be a Christian? What is the purpose in professing to be like Christ if you're living, acting like everybody else? In fact, I believe that's why so many people today are turned off with church, because they know friends and family members that claim to be Christians, that claim to be churchgoers, and they're doing the exact same thing that everybody else is doing. Oh, I'm saved, honey. And you're drinking a, smoking a. I'm a Christian, honey. I'm saved. And I believe people look at that and they hear that and say, man, if that's what being saved is all about, if that's what being a Christian is, if it's not really a change, then why should I get a hold of that? Brother Clark, you mentioned this lady you talked to, the Jehovah's Witness lady. And, man, I've dealt with quite a few of those in my day. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And they've got some beliefs that are very, very, very strange and certainly not scriptural. And as far as how many people they believe can only be saved. And I've talked to them, and I'm wondering, if there's only this amount can be saved, then what are you out here doing? And if there's no such thing as hell, if there's not a place where there's a lake of fire, then you know what? I might as well just kick up my heels and do all the mess I can do, because once I die, I'm just going to be vaporized. No, there's coming a judgment. And with repentance, if there's no need for repentance, if there's no need for change, if there's no need for there to be a distinct difference between the church and the world, why did Jesus have to die? Think about that. If you could do the same things you've always done, why did Jesus have to give his life in such a horrible fashion? Why did he have to be abused? Why did he have to be stripped naked and beaten and bruised and bloodied? If all you got to do is just keep doing what you're doing and go to church whenever you get a chance, and just God understands, that don't make common sense. But he did this so that you and I, amen, that people in this world could receive the gift of change, the gift of repentance, the gift of a brand new life, the gift.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, everyone. We hope that you enjoyed this first half. I know it seemed a little bit short because we heard Sister Carmen Hood sing for the first few minutes, and the total message is only about 40 minutes long, so we cut it in half. We're going to be listening to the other half next Monday. And also, I want to just apologize. The text tree notice was sent out earlier today, but for some reason it was delayed. The system took a while to send it out. We're going to try to look at that and see what caused that. But hey, what I want to say real quickly here is, as Sister Carmen Hood began to sing the song, I listened to the words, I wrote them down. Many tears and sorrows, many questions for tomorrow, but through it all, the Lord is going to see us through it all. And I thought about Brother and Sister Hood. What a blessing. What a blessing. I heard Sister Hood begin to sing. You felt that anointing. Boy, I could feel it now just thinking about her singing. And Brother Hood, as soon as he started speaking, I thought, isn't this something, how the Lord took them so young? So young. And what a great ministry that they had. And I know many people looked at them and looked up to them thinking, boy, the Lord's going to use them in a powerful and a mighty way for years and years to come. Did you hear what I just said? That's the way we think naturally in our human mind, isn't it? Boy, the Lord's got his hand upon that person, that young person, that individual, and they got a bright future ahead of them. The Lord's going to use them. And the Lord did use them in a great and mighty way. But I want to say this, everyone. Even though they are not here with us anymore physically, they are still with us in spirit. And we're hearing them today. What a blessing it is to hear their voices, and the anointing that was upon them then, 5-10 years ago, it's still with us today. And what a message Brother Hood hit upon. Repentance, repentance. Hey, let's not get tired of this core fundamental peace in our doctrine, repentance. And as he was preaching this, I thought about Pastor Clark, how Pastor Clark has always talked about repentance, and he's always said, hey, when we get into prayer, let one of the very first things you do when you get into prayer is repent. And everybody, I think sometimes we forget that. We are not mindful to remember. As soon as we get on our knees, boy, I'm feeling the anointing just saying it. As soon as we get on our knees, the very first thing we need to say is, Lord, forgive me. Perdóname, Señor. Forgive me, Lord, for everything and anything that I've done to offend you. Repentance needs to be a continual thing that we are doing in our prayer lives. And the last thing I want to say is this. As Brother Hood was towards the end of this first half, he said something about preaching. Men of God who preached in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he started giving examples about how it's so important to preach repentance. As soon as he said that, I immediately got a flashback of us, everybody, on the street corner here on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. on the corner of 4th and Grove. And I'm going to just share this with you all now because he hit upon it. The last couple of Saturdays as we're out there, I feel it. And I don't know if you've heard me, but I feel it to begin to preach repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost. But I focus on repentance. What is repentance? And as I'm preaching this out there on the street corner, as I'm telling the people, hey, we need to repent, I begin to think of a John the Baptist or a Peter or one of the apostles that were out there on the street corner, if you will, by the gate called Beautiful, near the temple, preaching repentance, baptism in Jesus' name. And as I'm out there in the last couple of Saturdays and I'm elevating my voice and I feel the anointing on me, preaching repentance, sometimes in my human mind I think, are these people hearing? Are these people listening? Are they understanding what we're talking about with repentance? But everyone, Brother Hood just said it. It is a powerful thing to preach repentance, whether we're on the street corner, whether we're on the supermarket, whether we're with our families, talking to our families. It is important to preach repentance. That is the first step. And he said it. It's not just feeling sorry or regretful of sin, but it's turning around, changing our ways, going in a new direction. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost just saying this all over again. But we need this, everybody. Let's keep this at the forefront. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Well, let's continue to pray without ceasing and include repentance in our daily diet of prayer. Praise God. Well, I don't want to keep on going on, but hey, I hope this has been good for everyone. I hope you've enjoyed the voices and the anointing of a brother and sisterhood. What a wonderful memory they are. And everybody, we're going to see them soon. We're going to see them soon. Praise God. Praise God. With that said, everyone, We're going to go ahead and dismiss everyone. We hope you've enjoyed this tonight. God bless all of you, and we plan to see everyone back on Wednesday night at church. Dios los bendiga. God bless all of you. Amen.